morning in the season of Advent, of celebrating the Christ who has come and longing together for the Christ who will come again. Hear these words from Psalm 130. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. As we wait for the Lord and prepare to worship together, there's going to be an Advent prayer on the screen. I invite you to reflect on that, reflect on the song and the candles. Good morning. Morning, morning. All right, Roger came. Good morning, everybody. Come on up. Did you guys have a good Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Did you eat lots of food?
No.
No, you missed out. You had 6 plates? All right, you covered for the rest of them. All right, are you guys excited for Christmas? It's coming. It's almost here.
Yeah,
I know. You know what the hardest part of Christmas is?
What?
Exactly. Waiting for it. It feels like it takes forever, doesn't it? Have you ever asked your mom or dad for something? Like maybe for a toy or if you could go to the park or something and they said, wait a while. I'm busy. Wait for your birthday. Isn't that like the worst news ever? When you can't have it right now? Waiting. Waiting is hard. And so right now we begin this time when we start waiting for Christmas. Have you guys ever seen something like that over there? It's a manger. What's missing from that that's usually there? Baby Jesus is missing. What else is missing?
The animals.
The animals are missing. The shepherds are missing. Mary and Joseph are missing because they're not there yet. If you guys don't get up, but look around, can you find Mary and Joseph? They're somewhere. Nope, that's some shepherds. The shepherds are way out in the fields. Where are they? See, look way back in the back, way back up on that ledge. They are a long ways away from the manger because they're not there yet. And they're beginning to make a journey towards Bethlehem. That is Bethlehem. And they're... No, those are the shepherds in the field somewhere. We don't know what town they're in. They're in the country. And so every week, they're going to get a little bit closer and a little bit closer. When you come next Sunday, look and see if you can find them. And I bet by Christmas Eve, they might actually be there, but they're not there yet because we're waiting. And waiting can be hard. But the good news is God has given us some great things to do while we wait. We don't have to just be bored and play games on our phone. We can actually do some important stuff. And so today, before you guys leave, everyone gets one of these really cool gifts. Michael and Carrie, Elijah's mom and dad, even Elijah helped make these for all the families and all the kids in the church. And what you're going to do is you have to wait to even start it. We just keep waiting until Tuesday, December 1st. And each day in December, you get to pull off one of these circles. And inside each circle, there's a surprise, something fun for you. But also there's something in there that tells you how to wait well for Christmas. It'll be a little piece of paper, and it'll tell you something you can do for somebody else that day, a way to be kind and to show the life and love of Jesus until he comes. And so it's going to be super fun. Whenever we get out of church, go out there, and you're going to find your own tree, and you're going to take it home, and you're going to wait, but you're going to wait by loving people and being kind and doing what Jesus would do. Because when we wait like that, he gets here before we even know it. And it'll be Christmas before you know it. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
All right, let me pray for us.
I know.
Father God, I thank you for these boys and girls. I thank you for the excitement that they have each year at this time of year. And may their excitement and anticipation inspire our own. We thank you for the gift of waiting, and that as we wait, we get to wait with hope and with a job to do, a job of loving others and being your light in this world that has so much darkness. Help them and help us as we wait for you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will find your copy of Scripture, we are in several places this morning. So if you were ever back in the day of Bible drill, this is your chance to shine. We are going to be first in Malachi chapter 3. That is the final book of the Old Testament. So if you find Matthew, just go back a little bit. And if you'll put a thumb there, we'll look then after that at John 14. And then to the very last book of the Bible, Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. John 14, verses 1 through 3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And then Revelation 22, verse 16 and 17. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. And then verse 20 and 21, the final verses of Scripture. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we have encountered your presence this morning through the gift of song, through candles being lit that represent your hope, your grace, the strength to carry on, through the testimony of hope, even after baptism, when life still is a bit rocky, of a Christ who is always there. Father, we've heard words of hope and seen your presence in scriptures that have already been read, that testify to a God who has come and who is coming again. But Father, we're not done listening. We still long to brush up against you even more, to encounter your presence even more, to hear your voice, to be molded into your people as you would have us to be. So Father God, in this place, in our community, in our world, your kingdom come, your will be done, even as we wait for you to come. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you remember being a child and perhaps hearing that your grandma and grandpa were coming over for a visit? And if you were like me, you might find yourself sitting by the window, looking out to the street for minutes on end, your heart beating a little faster with each car that you might hear in the distance, hoping that it might be theirs, hoping that you would get the first peek, that you would see them coming first. And what of those times that they were a little bit delayed in the coming? Perhaps you try to distract yourself for a while, only to find yourself back at the window, taking a peek here and there. And then if they were significantly delayed in coming, the adults in the house might begin to worry. They would try giving them a call or turning on the evening news and seeing if any accidents had been reported in the area. Their mind would begin thinking of worst-case scenarios. And then just whenever everyone had begun to give up a little bit of hope, you'd see those headlights pull into the driveway and a collective sigh of relief. The door would swing open. The waiting was done. The expectation, the anticipation, the excitement, the worry and the fear, the doubts and the concerns, all of those cease in that moment when waiting gives way to arrival. And you know, I'm beginning to believe that with each passing year, our culture gets worse and worse at waiting. I drove by Subway a month or so back, and on their sign they had written, "No need to wait, order online." And I thought, seriously? I think I've only waited at Subway a total of 5 minutes in my entire life. And now they're saying, who has time for that anymore? And you know, all the fast food restaurants are doing it as if their way of being fast for generations is somehow no longer fast enough for us. We no longer have to wait for information. If a question is asked and nobody knows the answer, it is seconds before we pull out the phone and ask Google or ask Siri to fill in the blank. Credit cards nationwide are maxed out on things that we were told we could have now and we can pay later. I pulled into the toll line at the Tacoma Bridge on Friday, and I found myself scanning the open lanes, and I chose the one on the very far right because it had one less car than the others. And as I pulled up, I found myself watching the next shortest lane to make sure I had won this game that nobody was playing besides me. Make sure that I got to wait the very least. When we're driving and the light turns yellow, what would normally be this signal to slow down and be prepared to stop, our impulse nowadays is to punch the gas immediately and make it through that light, because who has time to sit at a red light for an extra 2 minutes? Snickers, they have our culture pegged with their little tagline, "Hungry? Why wait?" Fill your wants and your needs right when you have them, exactly how you want, because you deserve it after all. Our nation over, our culture, we simply stink at waiting. And it's because we just don't have to wait for much of anything anymore. And that, my friends, is exactly why I need the season of Advent. The 4 weeks before Christmas, when together we slow down just a little bit and we wait. The word Advent itself, it means coming or arrival. And in this season, we remember the generations of people who waited expectantly for the coming of a Messiah. And we celebrate with these people who never saw him. We celebrate that he has come. And in this season, we join them in longing and in waiting expectantly for him to come again. You see, our get what you want and get it now culture, it seems to affect our everyday living as it increases our levels of stress and discontentment by the hundredfold. But even more tragic than that, it affects our spiritual health. If I don't have to wait even 3 minutes for the exact sandwich of my dreams, then what am I to do with a God who sometimes doesn't answer my prayer in 3 minutes, or even in 3 decades at that? If I turn on the TV and the show that I'm watching doesn't capture my attention in the very first scene, I can simply turn the channel and choose from one of my other 900 options. So what am I to do when the warm fuzzies of spiritual living only tend to come ever so often? But most days with God are just this daily grind of trying to listen and trying to trust and trying to worship well. Just the typical working out a relationship kind of things, a relationship that's not always easy and definitely not usually very entertaining. What are we to do when we want to know God's will for our lives And we can't just ask Siri and get a clear answer. But rather, we have to wait and listen for whispers of wisdom. And we have to squint our eyes and look intently for glimpses of revelation. How can we be connected to a God who so doesn't play by our culture's expectations and preferences at all, but who just kind of does his own thing according to his own timeline and simply invites us to come along and to be a part? Because whether we really care for it or not, the simple truth is that our God has always been the one in charge, calling the shots. And he's always been the one simply inviting his people to play along and to wait for him. We looked at some of this last week. The people of Israel waiting to be freed from slavery. Those wandering in the desert in Sinai waiting for the promised land. Those in Babylon in exile waiting for a chance to return home. And all of them together waiting for a Messiah, for a Savior, for the promised one from God. And the Old Testament ends with this prophet Malachi and that promise that says, "See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." And you know, this sounds good and all. But what God forgot to mention when he was talking to the prophet Malachi was this tiny, insignificant detail that they would still be waiting for another 400 years for this to happen. No more prophets, no more words from God even, before John the Baptist, the messenger, arrives on the scene and prepares the way for Jesus at all. 400 years between the Old Testament and Matthew. And yet we often arrive at that manger in Bethlehem so quickly, even the day after Halloween in some of our stores. Not so convenient for the people of Israel. They were waiting and waiting and watching and longing for God to fulfill his promise to come and to save them for generations and generations. Living and dying and seeing nothing of this promise fulfilled, waiting. And then Jesus does come. And just as he's about to leave the earth to return to his Father, what does he do but invite his people to simply wait some more? John 14, he said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it weren't so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself. So where I am, there you may also be." Okay, Jesus says, so I came just as God promised, but now I've got to go because I have some work to do. I have a place to prepare for you. I have a kingdom to finish setting up for you all. I will be back. Just keep waiting, as you've been doing all along. By now, you know me enough to know that I keep my promises. So you can wait in hope and in expectation, but just keep waiting. I will be back. Just wait for a while longer. And then the final words of Scripture end with this same basic theme. The Spirit and the church joining together with all who hear and all who thirst and all who long for life. And they hear the same promise of Christ. He says, "Behold, I am coming soon." And now for 2,000 years since these words were penned, many voices have cried out together, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We long for you to come." And we're beginning to wonder if our idea of quickness might be a little different than his. Yes, in Advent, we remember the God who keeps his promises. We rejoice in the Messiah who has come. And in Advent, we lay down our sense of entitlement that says we deserve just what we want, just when we want it. and we expose all those pockets of impatience within us. And we join the chorus of generations before us by hopefully, joyfully crying out, "Come, Lord Jesus, come again. We are longing for you to come." Advent invites us to fully worship God even while we're still waiting on some things from God. It invites us to fully trust God's timing, to fully hope in God's promises, even when it feels like He isn't up to all that much around here. Simply put, Advent helps us let God be God and invites us as His children to listen and watch and wait for His appearing together as one. This season of Advent is so very good for our instant gratification addicted souls. It's a gift. But then the question is, how? How do we wait? Because not all waiting is created equal. One of my favorite things to do whenever I travel going through an airport is to watch people. And it's fascinating because in the airport, everyone is waiting for the same thing, and that is for their plane to board. But everyone waits so very differently. You have those overly anxious folks who are standing by the boarding gate for an hour before boarding time so they might get first dibs on where to stuff their carry-on bag. I've never understood that. Or there are those who are completely anxious about flying at all, and so you see them pacing back and forth, doing some positive self-talk, trying to distract themselves and calm their nerves. You always have that person with their laptop and their tablet out while they're on the cell phone, sending business emails, having a conference call, making other business calls, putting together the final touches on a business presentation, and kind of hoping people around them will notice just how important they are, that they have to multitask and get things done even as they wait for where they're going. You have the folks who grab a meal or a drink and just kind of hang out, relaxing in the lounge until the final boarding call, not a care in the world. You have the one who gets there 3 hours early and the one who comes rushing up 3 seconds before the gate closes, hoping it'll stay open for them. There are those who engage the people sitting around them, even in the waiting area, and those who are very clearly avoiding eye contact, have their earbuds in, their phone right here, not to be bothered at all. There are those who smile at the toddler running in between people, getting their last bits of energy out. And there are those who are offering up a silent prayer, "Please, God, don't let that kid be sitting next to me." We all wait differently. And so it is as we wait on the Lord. Some of us are anxious waiters, always doubting whether or not this is really real or really worth it. Has He really come? Is He really coming again? In order to avoid the anxiety, we try to stay distracted, pacing, overworking, decorating, shopping, just doing whatever we can to buy some time and keep some peace in our hearts and minds. Some of us just check out and disengage while we wait for Christ to come. The anticipation is too much to hold on to day in and day out when most days just kind of play out like the one before. So we put the earbuds in and pick up the phone or just eat, sleep, and be merry and assume that this is all it's really about. These relationships, this job, it's really just about as good as it gets. Some of us get so carried away by where we will be when the waiting finally ends, that we miss what's right before our eyes today. Like the person in the airport who is so in tune with seeing their grandkids at baggage claim in Phoenix that they completely ignore the child who's been smiling at them for 20 minutes at gate C6 in Seattle. Yes, as we wait for Christ to return and to accomplish all that He has said He is going to do, we can get bored with waiting and just kind of forget about His promises, just ignore the truth and live our lives as usual. Or we can become so obsessed with his coming again that we lose sight of how to live faithfully right here and right now until he does come again. And knowing that both of these, disengaging or only looking to the future, knowing that both of these are real temptations, Advent is the church's invitation not only to remember to wait, but to wait well. It's an invitation to wait actively, not passively. To wait by faithfully doing the things God has called us to do until his kingdom is come in full. And this month we're going to be looking at different ways to do that each week. Different ways to wait well, to wait faithfully in these in-between times. He's come, he's coming again. What do I do? That's what we'll be looking at. This morning, just a quick reflection on one way to wait well, one way to wait actively and faithfully. And that is by looking for light in the midst of darkness. Have you ever noticed how much light is a theme of Christmas, of Advent? We've got a candle lit right here above that manger. If it was real life back in the day, there'd be a big star above it. Light. Have you ever noticed in Scripture how often our God shows up in the dark? You know, sometimes we tend to think that God is absent from the darkest places of our life, that there is darkness and then there is God. And yet we read a story that shows darkness and God collide over and over again. I'm learning that our God actually seems to shine the very brightest in some of the darkest pockets of my life, some of the darkest places of this world. Just think about it. Israel in the desert, they saw their God in a cloud by day and in a fire by night. Which do you imagine was more breathtaking? Jacob, he wrestles with God and receives this beautiful promise of a covenant extended in the dead of the night. During a time, it says, when the voice of the Lord was rare, the boy Samuel is trying to go to sleep at night, and he hears this voice from God, Samuel, Samuel. And eventually he responds and says, speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. And a God who had been so silent speaks in the dead of the night. When Jesus does finally appear, when is it but at night? And how are people guided to his manger but by a star that can't be seen very well in the light? And who hears about him but some shepherds who are awake and working when the rest of the world is sound asleep? Our God is light. And where is light the most powerful? But right in the middle of the pitch black dark. Isaiah 9, that famous chapter in which the prophet says, a child has been born for us, a son given to us, authority rests upon his shoulders, and his name is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That word of a new leader coming who will free Israel from their oppressors begins with this little statement, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who have lived in deep darkness, on them light has shined. Then when Jesus begins to speak up and testify to who he is, he points back to this promise in Isaiah and repeats those exact words in Matthew 4. Jesus says, I am that light that has shined in the darkness. I am the light that has come. And the power, the hope of his coming is best realized in those places of deep darkness. For those are the very places that he gets to show off the very most. Ever tried to turn a flashlight on in a lit room? Not much good. But in the dark, boy, then it begins to shine. And so it is in our world, in our own places of darkness. As you wait for Christ to come again and make himself known once and for all, I encourage you this Advent season not to ignore the places of darkness in your life, the doubts, the places of despair and shame and fear. Don't pretend like they're not there. But this Advent season, might you find permission to expose them, to name them for what they are, and to even look for the presence of Christ right in the midst of them. Where is His redeeming light bringing hope and life even out of these shadows, even out of this darkness? After 9/11, Mr. Rogers had a famous quote that resurfaced. And Mr. Rogers is great. One of the best prophets of our times. And he said, when I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would tell me, look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping. Light in the darkness. Look for it. As we wait for Christ, and as we look for light, we will find that in so many ways, He is already here. I wonder this morning, what darkness do you carry with you this day? What places of shame and fear, regret and doubt did you carry in with you? What are your places of darkness? And how do you see the loving, empowering, grace-filled, sustaining presence of Christ right in the middle of it? Not apart from it, but right in the midst of the darkness with you. If you say, I don't see Him there at all, keep looking. Because, my friends, there's light in darkness. Because our Christ has been here. And because He's coming again. And because we have His Spirit until then, the light, it's all around, not a place it doesn't touch. And as we wait, look for the light until He comes again. Let us look for the many ways that He is already here. And finally then, if Christ's coming brings light to darkness, then His children who have encountered that light must have the ability to do the same. Jesus must have been on to something when He told His disciples, you are the light of the world. Ephesians 5:8 must mean something when it says, for once you were darkness, not for once you were in darkness, for once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. So as we wait for the light of Christ to come again, having Christ in us, might we get busy offering some of this light to others this season? Might we get busy exposing pockets of darkness in our world and infusing those places with love and with grace? In this Advent season, might we not just look at Christmas lights and candles and say, thank you, Jesus, for being the light of the world? But might we go the next step and live as children of this very light? Let's make this an Advent season where we wait for Jesus by actually living like Jesus. Where we tell others of His coming, not by demanding they say Merry Christmas to us in the checkout aisle, but by giving them a really good dose of Christ's love. In this angry, hurting, stressed out world, that love will be a light that shines so very brightly. Everyone else is cranky, demanding their way. What if we offered a bit of love and a bit of grace instead? That might really shine. Each Christmas season, I can't help but think of my time in Syria. One, because I spent the most meaningful Christmas Eve of my life in that country as me and some friends gathered together and celebrated with a Muslim brother who was baptized as a new believer in Christ that night. Muhammad was the first believer any of us knew of in the country from a Muslim background. And that just makes me glad year after year after year. But then I keep thinking. And I remember the week before Christmas when my roommate and I decided to do something kind of Christmas-like, though we were in a Muslim country, and to gather up some small little gifts and take them to a children's hospital to try and share a little love, a little light, in a place of darkness, a place of suffering. Well, our Arabic wasn't all that great, and we got a little confused. And the hospital that we ended up at was not a children's hospital at all, but it was a hospital for those with severe mental and physical disabilities. And we stood in that place with this bag full of toys, and we said, what should we do? And we both said, well, let's at least walk around, greet the people. If they want a toy, we'll give it to them. And we began to go room to room, and what we saw completely overwhelmed us both. There were people laying in beds with bars up the sides and over the top like a human cage. There were people chained to beds. There were nurses that were feeding four people at a time, just shoving food in their faces, not even looking at them, as if they weren't even human. Sheets were soiled. There was snot on people's faces days old. It was as if these people weren't people. It was the most depressing place I've ever been. I walked outside that day and stood in the parking lot, and I became more angry at God than I've ever been. And I heard myself saying, God, how could you? And God, where are you? These people have no one in their lives to show them what Christ is like. They're suffering. They've been forgotten. Why have you forgotten them too? And as I stood in that parking lot, shaking my fist at God, clear as day, I heard his word spoken to my heart, and he said, Jamie, where's my church? Where are you? Why aren't you here? You are the light of the world. You know me. You know places like this exist. Where are you? And it changed things a bit. We are the light of the world. And as we celebrate Christ this Advent, that he has come, and as we wait for him to come again, let us wait well by keeping our eyes peeled for glimpses of light in the midst of darkness. It is there. And in so doing, we will not become so jaded and so indifferent and so cynical and so hard, because the world doesn't need any more of that. As we wait for the light, as we look for it, may others who are looking as well find their search somehow stopping on us, because we just can't help but dish it out. As we wait for the light, may we live as the light. And in so doing, our Lord just might come before we know it. Would you pray with me? Oh, great light of the world, thank you because you've come. And thank you because until you come again, you've empowered and called us to be your light. Father, this season is already calling for us to get out and to shop and to plan parties and to run around like crazy. And yet, if we listen closely enough, we hear another calling that simply says, be my light. Be my light. May that calling be the one that guides us this day, we pray. Amen. We now have an opportunity to stand together and to sing, and more importantly, to respond to whatever it is that God is doing in your heart this day. Father, we have encountered your light this morning. Our hearts are encouraged. And we go from this place to share that light with our family, with our friends, and the strangers that we meet. Let your will be done, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.